Good evening, everyone. Adequate notice of this meeting on March 25th, 2019, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7th, 2019, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. The first item on our agenda is to make an appointment to the council filling the vacant seat of Cody Parker. Do I have a motion to present the name of someone?
I'd like to present the name of Chad Roman for a borough council member.
I'll second that.
Okay. Roll call.
Okay, so with that, there's associated a resolution 1953. So I'm just going to plug this name in and then.
That's CHADVROMAN.
Right. Okay, so it was first by Michael Hamilton and Joe Trammell. Mm-hmm. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essicor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Chad.
Would you like to come up and take the oath of office?
You have your suit of armor?
Okay, now raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Chad Roman.
I, Chad Roman.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith.
And to the government established in the United States.
And to the governments established within the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially and justly.
Impartially and justly.
Perform all the duties of the office of.
Perform all the duties of the office of.
Roosevelt Borough Council Member.
Roosevelt Borough Council Member.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Congratulations. So there's an empty seat down by Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can.
There you go. Welcome. Does it have to be in the presence of a notary or no?
I'll accept it. Yep. Ooh.
Easy there.
Okay. I'm okay.
I hope so. Whenever you have a minute, roll call.
Roll call. Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Essicor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
And Mr. Groman?
Here.
And Mayor Malkin, sorry.
Here. Okay. I have a few things I'd like to announce. I think first I will announce, do we have the paper branch pickup? Because we have our date for this spring. Oh,
right,
okay.
There.
All right, so branch pickup will be May 6, 2019, and this will be on the website and in the post office. It has a list of prohibited items. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading bulk. Don't ignore everything I just said. I'm reading bulk pickup.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You said branch. I don't have anything on branch.
All right. Well, at some point soon, I think. I have to look back at my text with Anna, but I think branch pickup is the 7th. I'll look before the end of the meeting.
It's May 6th.
No, May 6th is bulk, big trash day.
All right.
Right. But branch pickup is what I started with, and that was incorrect. So bulk pickup is May 6th. And, again, it'll be on the website and posted around town.
It's April what?
Branch?
No, branch, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I just
I
saw
21st,
it, but
I'll
look before the end of the meeting. And bulk pickup, otherwise known as Big Trash Day, is May 6th. Also, I met with Mayor Janice Mirnoff, Mr. Trammell.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We had a very nice meeting, and I presented, I talked about shared services, even though we don't have as much to offer them, but, you know, an interlocal agreement. Mm-hmm. And I brought up many things to her as far as leaf pickup, as far as water main breaks, you know, sending out Rich Brand and his crew. Mm-hmm. Talked about televising the lines.
Televising the sewers.
Mm-hmm. And she seemed very amenable to everything. She listened. She made a big list. Mm-hmm. And she didn't say, you know, she didn't seem negative about anything. She just kept nodding her head. As a matter of fact, near the end of my list, she said, is there anything else? Is there anything else? And then she said she would discuss it with her people and get back to me.
And so Rich Brand showed up?
Yes, Rich Brand was there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rich Brand was there. And, he was helpful.
So the procedure now is for her to come up
with
a
resolution. Yeah, so I wanted to give her, a good amount of time. Not a good amount. I didn't want to badger her. Mm-hmm. So I sent her a thank you note, thanking her for meeting with us and considering our request. And so I'm just waiting to hear from her.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I have a meeting this coming Friday with Senator Vin Gopal. He's our state senator. Mm-hmm. To talk to him about possibly restoring our funding for Roosevelt Public School, for giving us an exemption to the funding cuts, whatever, whatever it is that can be done. Basically, I'm going to plead our case to him. We have some other meetings in the works. I think at some point, Assemblyman, Clifton Dancer and Thompson also want to meet.
Right. Okay.
So that they told me to just hold on until, you know, they have a date for me. I know they were meeting with the state officials. Of course, they're in the minority now. But
it has come to me that now that they're in a minority, that they might be more willing to help whoever they can help.
Yeah.
Also, it's come to me that we should look at this on a national level also, since the town is nationally historic.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we have all of our talking points, and I'm not certain how familiar a lot of these state officials and county officials are when it comes to Roosevelt. They don't know. I'm not sure they know our history or anything.
But for national, I think Frank Pallone is our Assemblyman from Monmouth County here.
Yeah, Frank Pallone.
Congressman.
And I also, it's a wish. I mean, but I'd like to meet, if possible, with Cory Booker and Robert Menendez. I mean, anything we can do.
We should aim high.
Aim high, exactly. It can't hurt, right? And I'm not even certain that I'm not certain that they know that the school functions as our community center, as our hub. So hopefully.
The letter that our radio announcer,
Steve Trevelise,
it's an exceptional letter.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that with me. I have a goodie bag full of things I'm going to bring. Yeah. And hope that, you know.
Okay.
And then possibly ending in what I would love is to have a town meeting and have as many officials come as possible. Yeah. Let them probably better to meet at the school. Let them see our school, our grounds, our artwork.
Nice and clean in here.
Our residence. Yeah. Yeah. But it's more sensible to have the meeting at the school.
At the school.
And, let them
see the
have a good view of who we are. I know at one Ron Dancer and Rob Clifton and Sam Thompson have been our representatives for years and years and years. And yet when they came to the 75th anniversary party in 2012, they said that was the first time they'd ever been here. So many of these people have never been here. They don't know.
They didn't know we existed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roosevelt is one of the best-kept secrets in New Jersey.
The newspaper article a couple weeks ago.
My friend gave me the Star-Ledger with it on the Sunday headlines.
Yeah. It was also in Sunday's front page of the Trenton Times a week later.
Well,
so
there you go.
So we're, we'll try. We're going to really try. And as well as people, on the school end, they're trying. And the last thing I wanted to bring up tonight is, I'm going to direct this to Luke. I had brought this up a year ago, and then we kind of let it go, and I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but the cutting down of trees in Roosevelt has become problematic, where people are just clear cutting their lawns. You know, when we, in the magazine article, in the New Jersey magazine of 2005, when we were called the best town in New Jersey, it repeatedly mentioned we were a farm community, we're an agrarian community. That was repeated in the article from a few weeks ago. At this point, we won't look like that soon. And what's really problematic is that people are moving in, cutting down all the trees on their property, and moving out in a year or two. There's at least three instances of that in the last year or so, where people have only lived here for a year or two, took down all the trees, and then moved. Recently, someone took down the last tree on their property, and when a neighbor asked them why, they said they didn't even do it. Their neighbor said they would pay for them to take the tree down because they were tired of raking. And I don't understand that. On one hand, it's a lot more expensive to pay to have a tree taken down than it is to pay for someone to, you know, someone else to rake. And you live in the country of leaves. I mean, so Luke, this was Deirdre Sheehan started this a couple of years ago. But if you could look into, Millstone has a tree ordinance. Rumson, Colts Neck, Princeton, all the treed communities, towns have tree ordinances.
I thought we had one at one time.
I don't think we did. Yeah,
did
we
look
looked.
In the book?
I don't. Yeah, we couldn't find one.
I'm surprised because when I was on the council, that came up several times.
Came up, but maybe in the end you didn't pass an ordinance, though.
You know, the question becomes, though, if I may interrupt, it's their property. How can you legally?
Andrew can certainly answer this better than I can, but I think that you can designate some trees if they're a certain diameter, certain height, certain age, and they're not posing any kind of hazard or safety issue that you would need.
Well, it may not be an issue to you, but it may be an issue to them.
You could certainly enact an ordinance that addresses the trees that are to be cut down, whether you go through the Environmental Commission. I don't know if you have a shade tree commission here.
We used to, but we don't.
Without that, I believe it would probably be administered through the Environmental Commission, maybe to look into that and to propose, some legislation that we could, enact as an ordinance here. There are many, many, many municipalities that do have the shade tree commission, which really advises the council, the mayor and the council, as to, how to protect the trees. Even the town I live in, I know when I was cutting down trees, they had to have their arborist come and look at the tree, and they had a replanting agreement that we had. If we were to knock down these trees, we had to agree to plant certain other trees, and so that's absolutely something you can look into. There are certain diameters of trees, whether it's, I think in my town, I think it's, I want to say 6 inches. Anything larger than 6 inches, you have to have permission by the town, the municipality, to knock it down. So that's something, my recommendation would be is have the Environmental Commission propose something through committee and send it to the mayor and the council for their review and their proposed ordinance.
There's also Monmouth County has its own shade tree
commission.
Yes.
We should look to them for advice also.
Yeah, definitely look into that.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't create a real problem for somebody who just wants to cut down a problem tree.
Right, well, of course, that a problem, a safety issue, right, that's always an exception. That's a given. You'd never prohibit someone who has a tree that's creating a problem.
There's something else, too.
But Steve, I just want to say, people are just coming in cutting down every tree.
Yeah, I know. There's something very wrong.
I'm playing devil's advocate because I'm a tree person, too. If a problem for them, a problem for you may not be a problem, but for them it might be. They just don't want to pay or be bothered with leaves every year.
Why would you move to the country?
Well, they moved to the country. One reason is the cost of living, the cost of housing here is different.
Well, that's something you have to consider. I mean, if the municipality has the ordinance to protect the trees, then they'd have to abide by that ordinance.
Another thing
well,
is...
You know, I mean, and also what it does is it...
But you can't say a broad thing like it's a problem for me. That's why I cut it down.
Right.
Is no, what I'm saying. That, that's not good. That's not legal. That's legalese language.
You know, maybe a shared services agreement with the county, as Joe just said, you know, to have someone review. Because if someone's just going to clear cut an entire land, next thing you know, you have all these new homes and developments, and that's what you're doing.
It looks like Nevada.
Levittown.
Exactly. Right. But you're both right. Yeah.
I think you have to remember that trees take sometimes 50, 60, 100 years to grow.
To get mature.
That's right.
And you come in and you cut them down, and, you know, it's...
Yeah. It's forget it, Charlie.
It takes a while to get it.
It's forever.
That size, yeah.
And, you know, I've lived here for longer than anyone except Mike and Lou here, and you never heard of that before, and now people are just moving in and... Trees are gone.
And well, we pass ordinances and regulations all the time about what you can and can't do with your property. So, you know, the homeowner doesn't have the absolute right to do whatever they want with things on their property.
Especially in this community, in our town, because it's historic. So, you know, there's limitations posed by...
That's another issue.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting also the one and only time I got to visit Reddy up on his used to be the Buffalo Farm there. He was fined by the state and the Roosevelt Fund for Roosevelt, I think it was, for chopping trees down.
What happened there was the property was purchased subject to a deed restriction that required the certain trees to be maintained because to protect the silt from going into the stream. And he just cut down all those trees because he went interfere with the access for the solar.
Right.
But
he's a different situation because...
He was sued, and the Pepperos will sue him, and eventually he lost, and we had to... Right. That was because of the dangerous person, that's why...
But Mike, you can attest to the fact that, didn't I read something... I mean, I know I did read something a few weeks ago from the state. The state is very interested in protecting our trees from part of the Environmental Commission.
That's for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So can you make that a priority?
I'll look and see what ordinances you...
So you and Luke possibly could, work together.
Yeah.
I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. I see the Parks Department has got the house just beyond the power lines on the right, and I see Shade Tree Commission trucks there all the time. Going out of town?
The county's maintained. The county.
Right.
The county's trees, right. Yeah, the Shade Tree Commission basically maintains trees on public property.
Right.
And that's what they generally deal with, is trees on public property, rather than trees on private property.
Discussion about it? Okay, we can go on to public.
Make a motion to approve the March.
No public comment.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I start to say that.
I got lost there.
Any comment from the public?
So we're going to open
it
at 7:20.
7:21.
Oh, okay. 7:21.
Close it at 7:21.
And close it at 7:21.
Don't change.
I'm going to get to.
I just made my comment anyway.
Yeah.
Hi, Lori.
So open and seeing no public. We're closing it at 7:21.
Right. Now we come to approval of minutes.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the March 11, 2019 regular council meeting minutes.
Second?
Second.
And that was Mr. Esikoff?
It was.
Okay.
Who?
Rockfall? Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Abstain. I wasn't here.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
and Mr.
Nice.
Perlman?
Abstain.
Quiet day.
Okay. Make a motion to approve the March 11, 2019 closed meeting minutes.
Second.
Who was the second one?
I think
Mr. Esikoff.
Yeah.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Abstain.
And Mr. Vroman?
I'd just like to say for the record what a pleasure it is to have good meeting minutes.
Mike, stop jumping in for
Mr.
a second.
Mr. Vroman, I didn't get his...
Go ahead. I forgot that he was here.
When I said we were going to do the Evelyn Wood School of Council meeting tonight...
I'm trying.
I'm sorry. Abstain.
Now.
It's a real pleasure having really good meeting minutes and having them prepared quickly and being on the next agenda. So
and
I just want to say it's.
Which
it's
we didn't have for many, many years.
We didn't. So it's a real pleasure, and they're very accurate.
You can come here. And it's
thank you.
Makes sense.
I'll let
Lori
know. Thank you, Bill.
She just walked.
We come to correspondence. The first item is a resignation letter received from Cody Parker as council member, which was really nice in a way, even though we're so disappointed, but it's strictly because he his business is doing so well, and also I think he moved out of town. But now we have Chad, so.
He's on the planning board too, isn't he?
Yes. So well, that's coming soon.
So he's leaving the planning board also.
Yeah.
Environmental commission.
Environmental, yeah.
No, wasn't he our...
He was
the
liaison
to the planning board, right? Yeah, I thought so, yeah. Planning board also. Yeah. And then we have a letter dated March 12, 2019 from Monmouth County Mosquito Control Division regarding mosquito control adulticide. Never heard of that word. Application from May 1st through November 30th.
Yes,
which
and I did post the letter along with their
explanation.
Yeah, and what the fact sheets regarding what chemicals they're putting down. It's on the website and it's also on the back of the bulletin board.
And we received a flyer regarding the 8th annual Made in Monmouth event. I believe it's in all your packets. Scheduled for April 13th this month, or next month. Sponsored by the excuse me, Monmouth County Board of Chosen Freeholders. And apparently, I guess it's kind of like a big craft fair. But everything's been locally made in this county. And it's going to be on the grounds of Monmouth University.
Cool.
And that's posted on the website, too.
Yeah. And we come to resolutions. Resolution 19-54, payment of bills of March 25th, 2019. Do I have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Be on to it.
It's all right. I'm the fastest gun out of town from town.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
1954 passes. Resolution 19-55, amending council committees for the year 2019. So, Chad, since Cody was the rep to the plan, now, oh, so first of all, you have to resign from your position on the planning board as a planning board member, but then would you be willing to be the council rep to the planning board?
Yes.
Right, so I just need a letter, this letter from you.
Okay. That is under old business when we appoint for the planning board.
Oh, well, what's this?
This is for the committees.
Oh, for our committees right now?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, we do this in the beginning of the year. And we put Cody in the positions of environmental health and safety as the chair. He was on public works as a committeeman and utilities. So those are the three positions opened, unless anybody else feels they want to.
Well, what we can do is, if it's okay with Chad, we can put Chad everywhere where Cody was for now. But then if anyone wants to switch around, you know, certainly it's an option. As Kathleen just said, Cody was chair of environmental health and safety. And then he was also on the so you would be on environmental health and safety with Steve and Luke. And then he was also on public works, and you would be on public works with Steve and Joe.
Okay.
Is that okay?
That's fine by me.
Great.
And then the
was he on utilities? Yep.
Why does that seem like four? One,
Okay. Maybe sorry.
Now we can have a meeting. Yes.
And utilities.
Okay.
That's a really fun one.
So you're chair of environmental health and safety, but then on public works, Steve is the chair, and utilities, Joe is the chair.
So we know that you don't know what to do as chair of environmental, but we'll help you.
There'll be crash courses.
I did hand out what's in the code book to everyone regarding duties of standing committee.
Yep. Okay.
I'm gonna give that effect.
So FYI on environmental health and safety, the emergency management coordinator.
Yes, we knew. I know.
I believe is.
Well, it's Rob Masterson, but now I had originally asked Cody if he was willing to stay on as deputy because he had told me that he had to leave the council because his job was company.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I said, well, would you be willing to stay on as deputy emergency management? And he said, well, I'm also actually moving out of town.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I have to fill that position.
Right. Matt Masterson.
Rob Masterson is still our OEM coordinator.
So he's the OEM coordinator, so we'll get all those names and numbers to you after a while.
Well, he's been on since last year.
Well,
and was reappointed
Masterson
in January.
Yeah,
Masterson. Well, I didn't ask Chad yet if he wants to be deputy.
No, I'm just as part of the.
Yeah, I don't want to overload him.
As part of the environmental health and safety as liaison to emergency management coordinator, so he should know.
Yeah,
who he is,
so and I can introduce you to Rob.
Yeah.
Those are the people that put out the code red.
She's on the planning board as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're the people that put out the code red and just anything from Superstorm Sandy to whatever kind of emergency.
And the fire. The fire department and rescue squad, you'll have to get their names
and
numbers.
You mean first aid?
Well, first aid, yeah.
Yeah.
It says rescue here, so I'm just reading, So,
yeah.
You know, Millstone services us. The contract will expire at some point in time.
Yep.
And you got John and the rest of the first aid squad. So, yeah.
Yeah, he'll get filled in on everything.
Okay.
So we're still at Resolution 1955, amending the council committee, which we just filled Chad in.
Mm-hmm.
So now I need a motion and a second and then a roll call.
I'll move 1955.
As it stands. Putting Chad
with
in.
With Chad in and place of Cody in.
Right. Well, they both start with a C, so it makes sense.
Right.
Okay.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Broman?
Yes.
Okay.
1955 passes. Resolution 19-56, authorizing a fair and open process and issuance of a request for proposals for borough utilities operator services. That's because our utility operators, their contracts are coming to an end.
So if I can just amend the resolution, we could fix that. So the reason that we put 5 years, it should actually be 10 years in the request for proposals, the resolution, because that's the statutory maximum contract for utility operators, 10 years. But it's up to you guys what you choose as far as the length or the term. But it cannot exceed the 10 years.
So if we pass this resolution and put
out... While we have a discussion as to the length or the term of this contract,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll amend the resolution, we'll draft the resolution with the term that we want as a mayor and council.
So their contracts are up, I believe, at the end of June?
I think May 31st.
June 1st, okay. So we have a couple of weeks to figure it out, but if we pass this resolution now, we can still change the length?
You can change it up until the resolution is adopted, yes.
You just can't go more than 10 years.
10 years,
understood,
right.
Yeah.
So we can go less, or we still have to negotiate a term with them, probably.
But wouldn't it be best to talk to them first before we do anything?
Cool. Yeah, we do.
This is only to put out the RFP.
In other words, we can't just automatically renew their contracts. We have to put out a proposal to see if anyone else is interested in becoming our utility operator. operators.
Then doesn't it become, you might have to take the lowest bid or something?
No.
Okay.
That's why the RFP goes out. You have to look at the qualifications, and then you make a determination.
So knowing these guys fairly intimately now, since we brought them in and groomed them for the job, and they went through a lot of changes, can we table this till the next meeting, just so we can let them know that this is the process we have to put out an RFP?
Well, why would you let them know?
Well,
this is going to be put out for bid.
No, that's not a problem,
right.
But that they should get blindsided knowing that.
I think the RFP is
for everyone to apply, and at the time that.
But do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Mike probably knows. Mike Lyons
probably
knows
the routine,
about this with all the different.
And Allentown with H2O also.
It's a standard practice, pretty much. You know.
And you can just tell John in passing, but.
Yeah. Well, that's.
But this
what
is
I
the proper.
Do, you know.
I also
legal
want to mention
to
that it's
it.
A best practice kind of thing that you do this on an annual basis with these positions, so that you know.
Especially if it's going to be an extended period of time.
Yeah.
It's the proper legal way to do it, so we.
Okay.
You know,
they
you
probably know that, but I would
even
mention
ask them what would be comfortable for them.
How many years?
You don't want to do
that? No, because this is a request for a proposal, so people have the opportunity to submit their resumes, with their qualifications.
It's supposed to be on the up and up, in other words, right?
Right.
That's why it's fair and open.
Okay.
We do that all the time with engineering, with Carmella.
With their attorneys.
She puts in a proposal, and, you know.
All of our attorneys?
All right.
So professionals are up to 1 year, or 1 year contracts, and then other individuals that are not considered quote-unquote professionals.
Right.
Utility operators is 10 years.
Can be up
to
10 years, right.
Wow, that's a long time.
Should we think about
well,
5 years
only,
or
that's
10
that's the
years,
maximum.
Or?
You don't
well,
have to hire
I
them for 10 years.
I think we're just going to put 10 years, but when it comes time for the RFP, when you guys
decide.
Have to discuss and
right.
say, okay, I only want 2 years.
Okay.
I only want 5 years, but
okay.
you can go up to 10.
Okay,
this
so this
like
doesn't
lock
us into
the
10.
No, it just means it can't go longer than 10. 10's the maximum it can be.
Can you word it not to exceed?
It's already
well, that's a, it's already it's understood.
There.
That's
well,
in the law.
Well, by statute,
it
it's up to 10 years.
Okay. All right.
So can I have a motion?
Just a little
bit more.
Can I have a motion for 19-56?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
With the
amendment.
With the amendment.
10-year max.
Okay, so we have a motion to adopt. I'm sorry, who made the first?
I did.
Mike.
And second?
Me.
Mr. Esikoff. Okay. Roll call, Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Grumman?
Yes.
Okay.
1956 so passes.
The amendment.
When do they have to have this in? When do the RFPs go out? And when do they get counted?
I don't have that.
Right. So we have to prepare it after, you know, we can't prepare it until the resolution was adopted, which it was tonight.
Gotcha.
And then we'll work on the RFP.
Okay.
And we'll send out with the deadlines.
And then it's a 30-day after they receive or something like that to get. I know Anna gets a stack of them once in a while.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, this is not the reorganization meeting, so it's probably the only RFP that's going to be out there. So it probably won't take as long.
Okay, just in my mind, wondering when things happen. Okay. All right.
All right, we come to reports of committee chairs. Councilman Bowen, Public Works.
Let's see. It's more of the same. continuing with the painting here, we moved into the office area.
I just want to tell you that everyone, people just stopping us everywhere, telling us how wonderful it looks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fire hydrants. This Mueller sales rep has been contacted by Anna, and we're going to be getting him out here to give us some idea about replacing some of the older hydrants that we have. That ongoing problem down on North Valley Road with the storm drain. You know, I feel sort of stuck because. You know, the county is
called us a couple weeks ago and told us that they're really busy with road repairs, and we basically just have to wait. In the meantime, the drain is filling up with water. There's a small pond over there now. Residents have running their sump pumps around the clock. So I did reach out at a couple weeks ago about, you know, since we don't know when they're going to come, whether or not we should look into a private contractor taking care of it. But obviously that's more expensive, and that sort of has been dismissed at that point.
Is it like exponentially more expensive?
Well, that's what I asked Anna today. I said, you know, can we look into at least what the cost is for a private contractor? If it's just a couple hundred bucks, I mean, you know,
because these people have been very patient.
It could be thousands for all I know. Then the other option I was just thinking of was when you were talking about the shared services with East Windsor, whether or not they would have the capabilities of handling that thing. But it doesn't look like that's going to be coming to fruition anytime soon.
Soon, yeah.
So that's sort of where we're at. And
the residents have been patient. I mean, they contact us constantly, but they're not screaming. But it's been a long time.
Too long.
Yeah.
What number North Valley Road?
It's between 25 and 27.
Okay.
Where's that?
John and it's John and Pelzeri's house and the next door.
Okay.
There's a little pond between their houses.
Yeah.
You can't miss it.
Where is this? Fishing. Where's 25 and 27?
North Valley.
Like,
make a right.
Kind of diagonally down from Herb Johnson's house, but, you know, closer to.
One of the first couple of houses on that side. Yeah, on the far side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the low side.
Yeah.
The newer houses on the other side of the street. Yeah, it's really. So the county hasn't given us any idea when?
No.
All right. Well, let me just jump in and say that we're going to meet here the first week of April with the Monmouth County engineer, the public works engineer from Monmouth County, and the traffic engineer from Monmouth County. And I noticed that they have put out.
Yeah, they started the strip.
Card readers or
yeah.
Car readers, how many cars go by.
Yeah.
So if it's not done by then, you're going to be at that meeting also. Then
right.
We bring it up and say what the,
yeah,
you know.
Let's move on a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
so. I think it's May 4th or April 4th. April 5th. April 5th.
That's a Friday,
I think. Then it might be the 4th.
April 4th is our meeting.
The 1st is a Monday, so the 5th is Friday.
Okay.
And Joe, Hightstown can't help us with that. I believe that.
Well, Kenny was out there and he televised.
Well, what happened was the county came out initially,
mm-hmm.
tried to clear it, and they said there was a problem and it needed to be televised.
I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So then Ken Lewis promptly came out and televised it,
mm-hmm.
and said there was mud and stuff. So then, you know, the county was contacted again. Then we had to go through all the rigmarole of getting the approval of the residents that they could pull their trucks on there. And, you know, and it's always, well, sometime next week we're coming, and they didn't ever show, and then call, and.
Who do you speak with over there? Which department?
Rich.
Rich is the guy, Rich and Steve are the ones at Salt and Brine here also.
Well, it doesn't matter. It just
right.
I wish they could just come.
Okay. Now, the last meeting I was at, Lou was talking about the culverts or the storm drains under the roads in town here, and you said that they were galvanized, like the really
mine
galvanized
was.
Pipes.
The one in front of my house
yeah.
was, but I suspect that when they did the town, mine is.
That's
you know,
what they put in.
That's
yeah.
what that was standard stuff at that time.
So if in fact that's a galvanized pipe, it's probably caved in,
yep.
and it's got to be dug out and replaced, and that's something we have to consider. And like Andrew, that's who pays for that? Homeowners or this is, I mean, it's something that might have gone in back in the beginning, or those houses are newer.
Well, it's like
no, they went up in around 85.
Section.
In 85?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and they got a long ways into it, coming from the residence property under the road, I guess, and, you know, And somewhere, you know, 300 feet down is when they hit something.
Back towards the woods or towards the...
I don't know.
I mean, it would all go towards proofs, but...
Yeah, yeah. Right, well, that's going to be looked at.
That Murphy?
Yeah, well, we'll discuss
that. Is that down near Murphy's house?
No. You know that, okay, the new sort of track houses are on that side.
The parcel.
So if you're facing... In other words, it's not the old originals.
Newer houses, right.
Oh, across the street. Okay,
yeah, across the street. It's the second one from the end near the triangle.
Oh, it's on that side of the road. Okay.
Second and the third.
Okay, I got you. Thank you.
I'll take a look at that, Joe.
Okay.
I was wondering.
Because chances are it's going to be dug out. That's, you know. Yeah,
so. See, those belong, if I may. I think this is... I'm not... You know, I'm just speaking from whatever I think is logical. Those drains belong to the borough, not to the owner.
Were you physically out there, Steve? Is there a storm drain in back of their property? Is there a piece of concrete with grating over it, or how
was
it?
Greg was there.
Okay. All right. Because one of the services that Monmouth County offers is called the things under the road, the culverts, you know, and that's kind of a culvert, I would imagine, but it's really draining from the woods to the storm drain is what it sounds like. So.
All right, well, we'll hopefully
check that out
come to some kind of resolution soon enough.
Okay.
That's all for me.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Councilmember Esikoff, administration?
I don't really have much of a thing. I was reviewing the bills for payment. It seems Fios, we give him an awful lot of money for our stuff. Is there a way to negotiate with them?
I know that Anna has done that extensively over the last couple of years.
What, tried to negotiate with
them? Yeah, and also we used to have Verizon and Fios, and we... We're able to...
Verizon and Fios are the same. You know.
Yeah, so we got, for lack of a better word, we got rid of Verizon. And I know Anna's on top of it
so
constantly.
So
we're
paying
it may
we're
be
pay.
The best
same
we can
thing.
Do.
Okay.
That's true.
Yes.
Well, it could be the landline as well. They're separate entities.
Are they?
Yeah.
The landline is separate?
And Fios are two different entities. Same company name, but they're two different services.
Yeah, I paid mine on the same
bill.
I mean,
we did have some other Verizon services that we were able to.
But we had a problem at the sewer plant because once Verizon switched over and handed the landlines over to whomever it was, neither one claimed responsibility for it not dialing out when we had an emergency. So that took 2 or 3 months to get resolved, but they did resolve it.
I would ask Anna, Lou.
Yeah.
I would talk to Anna.
I will. Okay.
Councilmember Hamilton, finance?
Yeah, we had a finance meeting on March 21st, and there should be a copy of the finance report in everybody's packet. Mm-hmm. In attendance was George Lang, our chief financial officer, Anna DeBevic, our finance and everything else person, and... myself as chair, Judge Trammell, and Lou Esikoff as well. The purpose of the meeting was really to get a general review of the current fund and how we're doing with that, and also the utility funds. And we do that every year in preparation for the municipal budget. And it looks like we'll be able to introduce the budget probably by the second meeting in April. I think we'll be good with that. Just for people who don't know, we have two separate accounts that are used to run the town. There's the utility fund that's used for water and sewer operations and expenses, and the current fund, which is used for everything else. So there's two separate funds that are discrete, and they don't. You can't generally transfer money from one fund to another, except in certain circumstances. We're always concerned about the water sewer utility fund because it's a closed system. There's only one real consistent revenue source for it, and that's user fees. And we all pay a lot for that, $372 every year.
Is that the only way that money gets into that?
No, it's not the only way. And I'll go over that. We collect cell tower fees, too. I think it looks like we collected about almost $85,000 in cell tower fees to date for what do we have, two different carriers up there, I think?
I believe so, yes.
Two, and we're negotiating with the third carrier, so we may have more revenue coming in.
We have Verizon, we have AT&T, and we're hoping T-Mobile is interested. Yep. So.
So outside of that, there's no other
area. Yeah, so, there's not too many other carriers that we can get up there besides the next group of carriers that we're looking to put up there. And we're not building more houses, so you don't have more people paying into.
Now, what about if we sold the property where the gas station was? Would that go into that fund? Or
no.
No,
that would go into
the
current fund, I think.
And it's possible. I mean, it's not possible, no, right now, but it is possible that perhaps some houses will go up at Hilltop Swim Club, but that also would go into the general fund. Although we would collect the, I think, wouldn't we collect the water? Yeah, we would collect the water sewer fees from those houses. I'm not sure. It's a 5-acre property, but not all of it is developable. There's a lot of wetlands there. So I actually, I actually have going to meet soon with our town planner to find out exactly how much of the gas station is developable, because they also, there's wetlands back there and a buffer zone, and how much of the...
We have maps on that the planning board put together.
Yeah, but I wanted to talk to Tom. Okay. But, and that's why
the traffic study
is step one to getting the gas station, something built there, because to be able to tell prospective buyers how many cars come through town a day.
So that's
still both properties would go into the general fund, except that if houses go up at Hilltop, then there'd be a little bit more revenue into the water sewer fund.
So just to continue, our real concern is always the water sewer utility fund, because if expenses exceed revenue, you have to pay your bills, and we would have to raise our rates. And that's something that we absolutely do not want to do if we can help it.
Fight tooth and nail.
Yeah, so we try our best to keep expenses as low as we can. Last year we contracted with two different private contractors to operate our utilities. I think they're doing a good job. We negotiated, I think, pretty fair terms with them, and we're waiting to see if they'll hold the line on their contracts. Hopefully they will, but I think they've done an excellent job of repairing our aging infrastructure, keeping it going. But we always get a little panicked when we look at that fund, because we don't want to raise rates, but it's always very tight. Expenses are always right there with revenues, and sometimes exceeding revenue. This to date, we've done pretty well. Collections are up. We're a little more than 36,000 ahead of we were at this time last year in terms of collecting people paying their water sewer bills on time. So that's a good thing.
And what about
less
repairs?
We have a low delinquency rate now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
there was a time when we had a big, huge delinquency rate.
Right.
Well, also, Mike, do we have less money because it's being run so much more efficiently?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about expenses. But just looking at the revenue side, people are good about paying their utility bills on time, which is good. So we're
maybe because it's online now.
It could be. Easier. It's a lot easier to just click in. You can do that online. You have to pay a little extra if you don't use a check, if you use a credit card.
It could also be that they don't complain so much about the water anymore, too.
Right. That's
feel better to pay for it if it's good water.
Yeah. If you're getting better service and a better quality product, you don't mind paying for it. And
make a call. And
yes, I do.
John or Mike.
We still mind. Yeah. But anyhow. but anyhow, cell tower fees are up. We're collecting more money than we're ahead of the curve. But that being said, expenses continue to rise, too, in the system, and our infrastructure is old, and it's not getting any newer. So we know that we have to replace on an ongoing basis water and sewer lines when we do road work, and we see that they need to be replaced. We've been doing that. We're doing that in Homestead Lane and in other roads in town, too. Things are coming up like the trickling filter system at the sewer treatment plant. That is going to probably need to be replaced. I think it's the original, or somewhat original.
The whole plant is original, but the trickling filters were redone in 1990 to 92.
Yeah, but the point is they're past their usable life.
They don't. One doesn't work at all.
And they don't work. So other than that, they're fine. But you know, and they don't work now. These are expensive propositions. I mean, they're $500,000 repairs, and you can't just pull it out of the fund. So that means you'd need to bond. We need to go out to bond for that, and hopefully we can go a little longer with that, but not much longer. So we're gonna, once you start tacking on bonds, you have to pay the principal and interest on the bonds. They become like layers of expenses every year, and of course, then you reach a point where paying those additional bonds exceed the revenue that you have, and then you have to raise rates. So we had a frank discussion about that and about how there will be a point where somebody has to raise rates, whether it's us or the next council or whoever. I hope it's the next council. But, you know, I hope
all
we can
do is go, not yet, not yet.
I hope
yet.
We can go a little while longer without having to do that. But
well, as soon as you decide you're doing it, I'm resigning.
I know. We all feel that way. There won't be anybody here. But so anyhow, we're taking a good close look at it. We have many, many reports here to take a look at. It's just the beginning of the budget review process, so we'll be taking a look at that. The current fund is in good shape. So that's everything other than water and sewer. We don't have much debt there, hardly any debt compared to our revenue. So because of that, we have a good debt-to-revenue ratio. We have a very good bond rating. We're considered to be very, very solvent and very healthy within our current fund. So we can borrow money at a good low rate if we need it. We continue to make a lot of improvements to, as you say, right here. Inside buildings, outside buildings. I think the whole municipal complex, if you want to call it that, is looking great. And structurally, they're all in good shape, too. I think our HVAC system is working well here. We have excellent work crews. Our public works department is really doing a great job. Structurally, the building that was kind of falling apart in the back of the public works garage is in good shape. Structurally, it's good. It's got brand new roof on it, new drainage. Inside and out, I think everybody can see the improvements that we made. And we've done that within the budget, and we've continued to develop and maintain a good surplus. So we're getting stuff done, and we're managing at least that part of the budget very well.
Can I just add something, Mike?
Yeah.
You know, the rug is 30 years old and dirty and full of germs, and Anna and George Lang found an oversight where there was money in the budget for buildings and grounds that somehow didn't make it from the paperwork to the Edmunds software, and they just found that. So we will be able to get a floor, a sanitary, ecologically responsible floor much sooner than we thought. Probably by the end of the spring, we'll have a floor in here, which is much cleaner than.
Now, in terms of taxes, one good thing on within the current fund, and we are the collection agent for taxes for not only for the borough but also for the school and the county and library tax and all of that. We're able to collect almost 100% of the taxes owed, which is great. People are paying their tax bills in addition to paying their water sewer bills, which is good. An initial look at the budget and all, given the healthy state of it, it looks like we will probably be able to remain at current rates within the municipal budget. The school, as everybody knows, has had some really severe cuts to their budget in terms of funding from the state. The projections there, it looks like their taxes may rise about 8% on the school end. And we might hear it here because people's tax bills go up and they come out to a meeting. Where are they going to come? They're going to come here. And, you know, we can explain to them that we don't handle that budget, but we collect on it.
I think this might be the eighth year that we haven't raised municipal taxes.
Yeah, and there was, in fact, a little article in NewJersey.com about that, about the towns that kept taxes stable for a long time, and I think we were one of the towns that was at the top of the list for keeping taxes stable. So we're doing the best job we can in terms of keeping...
And the school eats up a lot of that budget.
Yeah, they do. In any town, it's the same thing.
They get 75...
It's about three-quarters of the tax bill.
75% of the tax bill is to the school.
Yeah, so we're doing the best job that we can. We do have an aging infrastructure, so, you know, the utility fund is always going to be kind of tight because of that. But in general, we're crunching those numbers. I thought we had a really good discussion about both budgets. And we'll be working on fine-tuning the different items in the budget and transferring money to places where we think we might need it more, and putting in a budget request for those areas, and other places where we didn't spend the money but we had it allocated, we'll adjust that downward. And that's basically the budget process. So I think we'll be...
Let me just ask, on the school budget, if taxes went up 8%, how long would that keep the school here?
A year.
Just a year?
It's a yearly budget.
Yeah, it's
budget.
A year-to-year budget, yeah.
So this would make up for the shortfall. It's like they're talking 150 something thousand. So it would just be for the current school year or the following school year?
No, for the next year.
1920?
For the, yeah.
1920.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. September 1st to July.
July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
August 1st to.
They cut some programs. They just passed their budget and they cut some programs. They eliminated sixth grade. They're going to be sending sixth grade, so it's going to be K through five now.
Well,
and it makes sense in some ways because, you know, when kids get sent to middle school, they'll be entering in with the other kids who are going into middle school.
That's
not
exactly right.
Entering in right in the middle of it.
From a social point of view, having driven a bus, I can tell you how they interact.
Right.
And from a social point of view, when they come in with the other kids, they're... It's a much healthier experience for them.
Yeah.
And also their curriculum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
While ours, I'm sure, was good, theirs is at least steady flow.
One of the programs, I talked to Mary Cohen, who's the school CSI over there. One of the programs that they hated to cut was the studio art program, and they cut that because they have to make cuts. And one of the things that I spoke to her about is I said, what if we had money in the budget in our rec fund and we wanted to support the studio arts program as a recreational function?
Right.
Good idea.
Could we do that? And she said, I'm sure we could work something out like that. So if the council wants to do something like to expand our recreational program or create some funding mechanism so that that program can continue, we might be able to work that out. But that's something we'll have to discuss. But it is a recreation kind of function. We have a recreation section in the budget, and we fund things, similar things to that. So we might want to talk about that too. So we'll be crunching more numbers. We anticipate having another meeting within a couple weeks, and probably budget introduction by the second meeting in April.
So for the school, I think Peggy was talking earlier about having maybe a town meeting or something at some point, and inviting Dancer and all of the...
Everyone. I'd like to invite everyone.
Yeah, legislators and stuff like that. So would that be a month or 2 months from now? How do you organize something like that to get these guys within their schedule to get here?
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't thinking of that as a finance...
Not as a finance thing, but because of the school budget, that's a chunk of finance right now.
It is.
You know, so. Yeah. Right, so
we'll have to talk.
Yeah, we'll talk.
We can
we'll
figure something like that out, the better.
Well, see how my meeting goes on Friday.
Okay.
Proceed from there.
Who are you meeting with on Friday?
Vin Gopal.
Oh, Vin, okay.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Trammell, Utilities.
Utilities, I barged into everybody else's conversations here, pretty much shot my wad there, you know. The only other thing is we're having this meeting on the 4th with the county engineers, and, you know, my language is, I'm not feeling okay. Well these days, I'm sorry. It's just like, you know. So we'll meet with them, and hopefully we can deal with some of the water, sewer, public works, stuff like that, you know. So, yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Councilmember Roman, you have an environmental report?
Hold on, I have that somewhere.
And Councilmember Dermody.
Nothing new for me tonight, but I'll meet with Deirdre and work with Mike a little bit and start something for the tree ordinance.
That would be great. Thank you. Mike, do you have something you wanted to say from, as a borough official?
One thing about the thing of the ordinances that we've had, the one area where we do have ordinances, you know, is in the subdivision and site plan ordinance, because there you really, you clearly have jurisdiction over what people do with their property. So, you know, but they, I mean, obviously we don't have any much in the way of subdivision, though we would have it certainly if anything happens at the Hilltop Swim Club.
Yeah.
That's the one, you know, one possibility of a subdivision, though. If that happens, we would certainly have jurisdiction over what they do with their trees, among all the other things we have there.
Yeah, good.
I'll contact, you know, we'll contact ANJAC and also contact the league and see what we can find in terms of any model ordinances.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, usually shade tree commissions, as far as I know, generally deal with publicly owned land,
right.
Trees on public land. They don't really deal with trees on privately owned land.
Okay.
So
usually within that shade tree commission, though, they would have an ordinance that they can assist with.
Exactly.
Yeah, they might. Yeah,
right.
We'll see what they have. We'll just find out what they have.
I could also look into
Things that you have in your town. Maybe you can get that information for us. That would be helpful. You said you have things like that in your town.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, old business. What was table
again? Table. Oh, the resolution 1903 from REORG.
Well, now that we
appointing,
have
appointing,
yeah.
Yes.
So
resolution appointing the planning board class 3 member for the year 2019. So you do have to do a resignation letter to the planning board.
And then I have to find someone to replace you.
But if you want to put him in the fill in the blank, appoint him. You can appoint him tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Council has to vote on that.
Right.
Yeah. That's
so 19,
what it is.
I'm just doing this, 1903. Okay, so if you want to, somebody make a motion to appoint?
I'll move 1903, appointing Chad Roman as a planning board class 3 member.
Second?
Second.
Okay.
I thought that planning board was advice and consent, but not...
The council normally has a member present.
Oh, it's a council.
Okay,
gotcha.
Council
gotcha.
Council yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Withdraw my objection.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Brown?
Is that a yes for me?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
If you said no, we would have worried about you.
Listen, do yourself a favor. Don't vote for yourself.
So if you could just send, like, the letter to the mayor and then planning board and... to appoint
yeah.
someone.
Yeah, I know. Okay. All right, so I actually don't have the branch pickup date on me, but I'll let everyone know.
No,
well,
but Anna, I mean...
Did you ask Anna?
This is not exact, but she believes it's April 29th, but she has to check her paperwork.
That's
Does that sound
thought,
about?
Yeah, I think that sounds familiar.
That's a Monday, I think.
Well, most things are scheduled for Monday, and then sometimes they take a couple days.
If the 29th is a Monday, that's the one.
It is a Monday.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Monday.
No, that's the one.
Okay, right, so so branch pickup will be April 29th. We're almost positive.
Mm-hmm.
And bulk pickup will be May 6th.
I remember she said something about the holidays being intervening.
Yeah, we had a lot to work around a few different dates. Public comment? Will we open public comment at 8:07? And we, okay, Mike.
One thing that occurred to me.
Mike, do identify yourself.
Yes, Michael Tichton. Oh, my address too?
Sure.
37 North Valley Road, Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555. Okay. Just one thought. With Chad resigning, I'm not sure that he has to resign because now you have an income. A council member can't be the citizen member of the planning
right.
board. So once
right.
he becomes
right.
of the council, he automatically
disqualifies himself.
He's automatically not not the right. citizen member of the planning board. Right. right.
Less work for him.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I prefer the letter.
Like the letter. Kathleen would like it.
And she's the boss. Okay, close the public comment at 8:07. 8:08. Do we need a closed session?
Yes.
Okay, Kathleen.
Do
you know what closed session is,
yeah.
Chad? That's where we discuss sort of privilege.
Litigation and personnel.
Public's excluded. And when we go into closed session, we discuss matters, but we can't vote, we can't take any action, we can't make decisions, we just discuss.
You wouldn't make you wouldn't vote during the executive, but then what you would do is you announce to the public that there will be action taken after the executive. So we're not going
to
be doing it.
Right, I didn't get to finish because I saw Michael didn't actually leave.
All right, so I first do need a motion and then I'll read the resolution, a first and a second to go into closed.
Move to go into closed session.
Second.
Okay, whereas
wait, do we do all in favor?
No, I have to read it first and then we'll vote. And then we're
okay.
in.
All right.
Good night. Good night, Mike.
Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act enacted October 21st, 1975 permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed which are exempted from the requirements of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution of public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempt under the said Act. Now therefore be resolved by the Borough Council as follows, that the next portion of this meeting be held in private session, that the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matter litigation Jeff Ellentuck versus Borough of Roosevelt and Kathleen Hart, docket number MONL2119PW. That no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter. So I'm going to take a roll call. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
To go into
here.
The...
Here.
Go here.
I know, that was a little dry reading, wasn't it?
My son put it to music many years ago, and they would just hit the... play the cassette.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Mr. Dermody?
Here. Yes.
Mr. Esselhoff?
What, you want to read that again? Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yeah.
Mr. Trammell?
Sure thing. Yes.
Mr. Roman?
Yes.
Okay, so time in is 8:11, and I am going to
shut off the machine.
Don't shut it off.
I have 7 times.
Pause.
Yeah, pause.
Right, wait, we have to go back to public.
Numbers go.
Okay, so we close public session at 8:21.
Private session.
Private session. What did I say? Public.
Well, you're really wondering
I
what's going to happen,
FDR
right?
I think FDR was very interested in
yeah.
Kathleen, don't let them disturb me.
Don't let
her
bother you.
What I told you.
Don't let it bother her that her name is all over the...
Every well, that's, you know...
Okay, yeah.
we still need a...
We need an adjournment. Yes, it's...
Adjourn.
We need an adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Okay, and we are out at 8:22.
Peggy, after I read this thing...